We really do feel it is a privilege, and that is not said lightly, to have the opportunity to share with you. I think that we could all say that we feel like spokeswomen for your wives, who would love to be able to do something like this and to share with you. Perhaps they have tried to in the past, and sometimes it's easier for someone else to get something across to us, you know. And so it could be that as you sit and listen to what we have to say, it will ring a bell, and you'll think, that's what she was getting at. And just to hear somebody else say it might confirm to your mind that it might be a good idea. Between the three of us, we figured that we have read at least 9 books on how to be a better wife, how to improve as individuals, and you yourselves know if you go in the bookstore here or in wherever you live that there are a lot of books these days on marriage and just on the individual, the husband or the wife. And so we're pleased that you are willing to come along today, and it encourages us because it shows that you also have an interest, although you are not as introspective as we as women, and so consequently you are not thinking about things as we do as much. I used to get a kick out of the conferences we'd have as staff, and the men would get together and the women would get together, and we would always talk about how to be a better wife, how to be a better mother. And I was dying to talk to Ed, you know, and find out, what'd you talk about? How to be better husbands? Never. You know, it was always strategy and the ministry and planning for the future. And it got a little discouraging because although you do know that God is at work in you, it's kind of nice to know that somebody is going to meet you a little, you know, not even if it's not halfway, at least partway. So that's why we are really pleased to have the opportunity, and it's encouragement to have you here. However, we are not specialists in any way, and you know that. We are just wives and mothers, and we are not psychiatrists. We are not counselors on social behavior, especially yours. We are just Christian women who want to be the people that God wants us to be with the Holy Spirit in our lives. And we're just here to share with you what we feel could be helpful to you in relationship to your wife and to your children, and especially to your daughters. And we've selected 3 areas. The first one, as you see on your paper, is on communication, and Barb will take that, and then on the marital role of the husband, and Sherry will share along that line, and then how to help your wife have a healthy self-esteem, and I'll finish off on that. And if we get carried away, you know, so that we're done quickly, and you want to have some kind of an interchange, we're here to listen to what you have to say and, answer if we could. But we'll see how our time goes. And it might be helpful for you just to, from the floor, speak out and say something. And we're open to that if we have the time and if you wanted to. Okay, Barb.
I'm going to just share some statements with you about communication from a wife's point of view. Communication between husband and wife, I feel, is the key to a happy and a healthy marriage. I love to talk to my husband, and I'm sure that all women do. But sometimes we get carried away with talking. And basically, men are thinkers, and women are talkers. And what we need to do is get our act together, and the women need to think more, and the men need to talk more. But I think basically the reason that we like to talk is because we like to draw out of you what you want from us. We want to know what your desires are so that we can fulfill a need in your life. Being a good listener is really an important thing to a wife. But communication, really good communication, is two-way. And just as God talks to us in His Word, we need that prayer back to Him. And that's the way it is with wives and husbands, too. We need to be listened to, but we also need to know what makes you tick and what really motivates you. May I suggest a project of starting to get to know each other in your home. And in doing this, think a minute, what motivates your wife? Is it an occasional, meaningful, I love you? Or if that isn't comfortable to you, something that my husband says once in a while, and I'm not even sure that he's aware what it does to me, but sometimes when I really goof up something, he'll say, you're all right, do you know that? And that really motivates me. I feel like, boy, everything I do that day, I'm going to do so that I can make him comfortable because he really cares about me. And just little things like that. We women are really funny. Just there's funny things that motivate us. And I think most of the time it's the fact that of hearing that our husband cares about us. What are your strengths? When you have this project of getting to know each other, what are your strengths as a man? And tell her what you think your strengths are. And then ask her in return what she thinks her strengths are. And then also weaknesses. Those may be harder to talk about. But after you've done this, then maybe put these strengths and weaknesses together. And you'll use them to glorify God. When you find out about each other, use that knowledge to grow together. And you'll be forced to communicate, and it'll be fun. And the results will really surprise you. You can help your wife become the woman that you want her to be if you work at it and enjoy it. I'd like to share with you now just some wives' reactions from a book. And that book is entitled Forever, My Love. It's one of the books that are in the bibliography on your sheet. And just to explain to you how us wives tick, I'm going to kind of read a dialogue and then tell you maybe what the wife thinks in reaction to it. The husband says, "What do you do all day anyway?" The wife thinks in reaction, "Despair too deep for thoughts." The wife wants to hear, "Honey, you must be tired. Why don't you take a little rest before dinner? We can wait a while." And another one, the husband says, "You aren't kidding, you're getting fat." And the wife thinks in reaction, "He isn't any Jack LaLanne himself." And what the wife really wants to hear is, "I like you any way you are, but it would be nice if you lost weight. You'd be healthier." Just changing it to the position that he really cares. The husband says, "What did I do?" The wife thinks in reaction, "He should know. He's insensitive." What the wife wants to hear is, "Honey, I should know what I've done, but I don't. Please tell me so I won't do it again." The husband says, "Wow, she's some dish." The wife thinks in reaction, "I suppose he thinks he looks like Paul Newman." What the wife really wants to hear is nothing. Wives and just women in general function from an emotional plane, and especially where their relationship with their husband is concerned. It's an important thing for a man to enjoy and to utilize to his advantage that wonderful difference that is woman. Did you know that there's a scripture in Ecclesiastes 9:9 that says that your best reward is for your earthly toil is your wife? Don't take my word for it. I want you to all look it up. It's in there. It's in Ecclesiastes 9:9. It's even an easy one to remember. And when you think of your wife as your reward, and you take time to realize her value to you as a person, she really does mean a lot to you. Another aspect, plan together what is left of the rest of your lives. Amos 3:3 says, unless two are agreed, or how can two walk together unless they are agreed? And make these plans together, these plans for your family, these plans for both of you spiritually, and these plans for your career. Sometimes husbands and wives develop a separate walk. They grow apart because they fail to plan together. Then when parental responsibilities cease, there's nothing left. So this is really important, to just plan your life together. And then communicate by action. Take special time for your wife. Galen and my special time together, as most of some of you from Des Moines probably know, because you see us frequent the Pop and Fresh Pie House quite frequently. But that is our special place. And I hate to admit this, but there are times when Gail and I go out alone together and we get to the pie house and I think, oh, I hope we get just a Tuesday place so that if someone else comes in, they can't join us. And I hope you people that come to the pie house and meet us don't feel like I'm always that way, but they're just sometimes. Or sometimes I'll say, why don't we sit at the counter? Because we have our back to everybody and just the kitchen clatter in the front. And it really, we do have time together. But we've had some really precious times there. And it's just special to me that he thought enough to take me out individually and talk to me. Even if it is a way, we could do this at home. But it's a special place and a special time that we have to just go out. Another thing that we could do is maybe you could stop at the supermarket and bring home some flowers. The flowers are pretty, but the message that they convey is what really melts your woman's heart. And that's the fact that he cared enough to stop. Same way with the pie at the pie house. The pie is good, but I don't even taste it sometimes because I'm so happy that I'm with my husband alone. A wife needs to feel like her husband's queen so she can treat him as the king God intended him to be. Communicate by action, but remember the subject to communicate is love. The feeling to communicate is I care about you. Do you remember the song, no matter what the world may say about you, my love for you will always grow. No matter what the world will say about you, I love you, and I love you most of all because you're you. That says a lot, too. We love our wives and we love our husbands just because they're them, not because of what they do or how they act. But when we got married in the first place, we loved them because they were them. Then in short, just kind of as a matter of review, take the time to communicate. Be a good listener. Get to know each other, the real you and the real her, your deep feelings. Then decide together what you want to do with the rest of your lives. And walk together, and then communicate by your actions.
Thank you, Barb. Okay, Sherry's going to take the next session, or the area, which is the marital role of the husband.
I'm so glad Ruth took the pulpit down, because I would not want to have to get up to preach or even to teach on this topic. I know that many of us wives at times, you know, think it's necessary to preach or to teach. We, you know, buy them Bibles for Christmas and buy them all kinds of good books and hope they'll read them and this kind of thing. And even here at the conference, there's been, you know, a lot of wives who have tried to add to our things we wanted to say today. But what I would like to let you relax about it. I'm not going to give you a list of things to do and not to do. I'm not going to give you a list of your duties. I'm not going to say that you must mow the lawn or you must paint the fence or you must take the garbage out. That's for you and your wife to decide. God has given us each unique talents and gifts, and it's something that you and your wife must work out for yourself, I feel, with God, to decide which role or duty each of you are to carry out in the home. What I would like to do today is something that is done very rarely, I think, in a marriage, and that is simply to praise and encourage you as husbands. This past year, I had the privilege of being in a Bible study on the fulfilled woman, and one thing I got from that was that we as women, we as wives, need to praise and encourage our husbands. I know I like to hear encouragement and praise from my husband, and usually speaking, he gives me more encouragement than I give him. And so today, I hope that I can encourage you guys, because I know that many times you wonder, is it worth it all? And the world tells you one thing, and the Bible says something else. One thing I'd like to praise the Lord for is how He has divinely ordered the family. I am so excited over the verse, which you probably can all recite from memory, in 1 Corinthians 11:3. I can't recite it, but I will try to paraphrase it. And that is that God's way up here, under Him is Jesus, under Jesus is my husband, and you husbands, and under my husband am I. There used to be a time when I rebelled against this thought. Not consciously, I didn't really mean to rebel against God and His divine order, but I thought I was just as intelligent and just as gifted as my husband. I couldn't see where he had the right or the privilege to tell me what to do. To tell me how to dress, perhaps, or to tell me whether I should cook a certain meal or whether I should go out and work or whatever the case may be. But after many years of struggling, of many years of combat, open war in our house, I praise the Lord that He's forgiven me and accepted me for what I am, and I praise my husband for not taking out my good wherever pan and hitting me over the head with it. And I also praise my husband and you husbands for not giving up. Because he has realized that it is worth it after all to be gentle and patient with the wife and to keep praying and hoping that she will learn to be submissive. And you know, it's not just being wise that put obstacles in your way. The world also tries to tell you that you shouldn't be male chauvinistic pigs. I have a neighbor lady, and I love her dearly. She's a friend of ours, but when she first realized that my husband and I were Christians and that we were different, and realized that although I wasn't always very happy with what Woody asked me to do, that I did do it. I didn't really rebel, at least not openly. This neighbor gal, who I will call Carol, would say, "Well, Sherry, you know, don't you have a mind of your own? What do you mean you have to do what Woody says?" I'd say, "Well, you know, that's really how it should be, and I'm happy that way." And she would, you know, just blare out and say, "Woody, you're a male chauvinistic pig." And Woody, not getting too ruffled about it, would say, "Well, oink, oink, oink to you." It became a joke, and it still is. Although, I really feel that she has seen from our lives that we're happy that way, and really does work when the husband is the king of the house, the head of the house. And when the wife is submissive, not grumbling about it like I used to do, but to have a right heart and attitude about it, and saying, "Lord, thank you. I don't understand why you're asking my husband to do this. I know you're in charge of this. Thanks a lot." And so, you know, this really makes me realize my responsibility as a witness to the non-Christian world, that I must be joyful and point out to them how I am happy to be in God's divine order. And it isn't just we wives or the non-Christian world that tries to discourage you guys from being our managers or our kings. Even some of our churches are saying this. My husband and I sell Christian books, and one of the privileges I've had this past year is to go to ministers, go to churches, and show them the books that we carry. A lot of these books are on our list. The Christian Family, The Fulfilled Woman, and I had one darling pastor, he's a good friend of mine, he says, "Sherry, I'm sorry, but I wouldn't recommend The Christian Family. And my wife would not read The Fulfilled Woman. Because, you see, she doesn't buy this thing about being submissive. She feels that, you know, God has made her equal. And she doesn't have to answer to her husband. I mean, you know, Paul, in writing in book of Ephesians, and this, I mean, he was writing, this is the pastor saying, he was writing to people at that time. You know, the woman now has to answer only to God. She shouldn't have to answer to her husband. And this is the kind of thing this pastor really believes. And even his own home, his wife doesn't have to answer to him. She is her own boss. And, you know, I feel sorry for them. And I share with him how I really was thrilled that my husband did want to be my manager, and I was happy to be submissive to him. So I want to encourage you guys and praise you guys, first of all, for coming here. You know, so often we women think, you know, that our husbands, you know, don't read the Bible enough, they don't pray enough, they don't go to enough conferences, they don't go to enough services and this kind of thing. But boy, I know that if we just leave things, if we women just sit back and just leave things in the Lord's hands, you guys do listen, you do hear, you're here, you've heard the message on the word and all this, and we don't have to say anything. We don't have to preach to you and tell you what your responsibility is. We can just sit back and watch the Lord perform these miracles in your lives and in our lives and the family's life. I too want to praise the Lord for the fact that being our managers, you keep an eye on the house. A husband can be defined as a house band or someone who holds the house together. And I really have to give my husband a lot of credit on that, because, you see, I get so busy in my schedule, as all women do. Sometimes I neglect a certain area. Sometimes I forget to dust. I don't like to dust. Sometimes I let my little daughter, who is very intelligent, get away with little things like mouthing back to me, or not having good manners at the table, or not cleaning her room like she should. And my husband, who's really sharp on that, you know, tries to keep an eye on that. And he keeps, you know, he's just like a check and balance system. He makes sure that the that I, who am in authority in his absence, am doing the right thing. When he comes home, he becomes the chief authority of our children. And I'm so thankful. I used to rebel against that. I thought he was insulting my intelligence and my ability to be a mother. But I realized that there are many things I just can't possibly be aware of everything going on in my household. And I'm so thrilled when he takes the time to point out things in my personal behavior and the things I say to other people. Perhaps he often says, "Sherry, I don't think what you said, you know, came across very well." Or, "Sherry, I feel you should be, you know, spending more time, being more consistent. Insist that our daughter not get away with those things." And he really takes in his own hands the responsibility of teaching our children. I do when he's gone, but when he's there, he's the one who spends that time with her before she goes to bed with the devotions, reading from the Bible, and they cherish that time together. One night, by mistake, I went in and thought, well, I have the baby in bed, now I can go in and be with my daughter and listen to them, you know, and just join in on their prayer. And my husband said, "I'm sorry, honey, but this is a special time with my daughter. Please don't come in when I'm with my daughter. This is my time with her and with the Lord." And I thank God for that, and I thank my husband for it. There isn't much more I want to say on responsibility. You know what the responsibilities are. They're in the Word, in Ephesians 5. You hear them mentioned in the conference that you attend and we attend. You can read them in the books. I just want to thank you for taking enough concern and enough love for your wives. You know, there's a title, there's a book out now, and says, "Do yourself a favor, love your wife." And that's really biblical. I found it just this week when I was getting this presentation ready. It's in Ephesians 5, verse 28. Says that is how husbands should treat their wives, loving them as parts of themselves. For since a man and his wife are now one, a man is really doing himself a favor and loving himself when he loves his wife. He's doing himself a favor. And I thank you for doing yourselves a favor by loving us the way you do. And you see, you show this love for us by being responsible and by being decisive. And we'll talk a little bit about being decisive. It's hard to make decisions, and we've talked a lot about, you know, well, how do you know God's will? How do you know whether you're making the right decision or not? It's an awesome responsibility that lies on your shoulders. I'm glad it's yours and not my responsibility. But one thing that women really appreciate is, you know, for the husband to consult or to ask for our advice or our opinion, and then to go ahead and make the decision, and not to waver back and forth, you know, one day saying, "Yeah, we're going to do this," and the next day, "Nah, I think I've changed my mind." And the next day again, "Okay, I think we're going to do this." This causes some uncertainty. But, you know, we really appreciate, first of all, you know, just you asking our opinion. And then we feel a real secure feeling and peace when we know that you have gone to the Lord and have committed to Him. And when you find the Lord's peace, we find peace too, because we know that's in the Lord's hands. So on decision making, all I want to say is just, you know, to, you know, get some advice, seek some counsel, but then you make the final decision. And sometimes we wives don't like the final decision. We think, oh, boy, I'm going to try to get him to change his mind. Let me see, how can I, you know, connive or get him to see it my way? And we still try to undo your decision. Don't let us do that. I've done it too many times. But Woody's pretty good. And he makes sure that he comes back to his final decision. Really, stick to that decision. We respect you for it. Especially when we know that the Lord has it in his hand, is committed to him. The last thing I'd like to talk about is being accessible. That means being available or being approachable. Every good president of company or good leader makes himself available to the people, to his secretaries, to his team members. And we like to know that we can go into our husband's presence as we go in before Christ, before the throne, and talk to him. It may be just to seek his advice or just to talk to him. As Barbara's mentioned, it's important that the husband is available, whether it may be just to take a sliver out of little Susie's finger, or whether it be to pound the nail in the wall that you're afraid to pound in the wall, or whether it may be to repair that wash machine that keeps clunking apart. It's good to know that you're there. We need you to be available. I think love could be spelled T-I-M-E. That spells time. This, we have talked in this the first session, I believe, was on time, on the word. And this is true, too, in the marriage relationship. One of our greatest priorities is the family. It comes under God. And you all know that, of course. God, the wife, the children, the job, then the ministry. And we like to know that we're important of it, and we can come to you without you rejecting us, without you laughing at us or thinking we're foolish and silly for wanting to talk to you at 12 o'clock midnight. But just, you know, taking us the way we are, being available, listening to us, lending us a helping hand. We need that helping hand. In closing, I would just like to capsule it with a little bit of praise. I wish there was something in the Bible, you know, that would compare it to Proverbs 31. We hear so much on the woman. On Mother's Day, they get up and they read the thing on Proverbs 31 about the godly woman. She's, you know, more valuable than precious jewels, and how the children stand up and they praise her. But there isn't anything that I could find in getting ready for this that talks about the husband in that way. So I wrote my own interpretation of Proverbs 31 for the husband. Beginning with Proverbs 31, 10 and 11, in my own words. If you can find a truly good husband, he is worth more than precious turquoise and emeralds, my precious, my favorite stones. His wife can trust him, and he will richly satisfy her needs. Then going down to Proverbs 31, verse 28. His children stand and bless him. So does his wife. She praises him with these words. There are many fine men in the world, but you are the best of them all. Muscles can be deceptive, and good looks and a fine head of hair soon vanish. But a man who fears and reverences God shall be greatly praised. Thank you.
Thanks, Sherry. It's very apropos that George spoke on self-esteem last night, because as you see, I have the opportunity to help you, to give some suggestions, really, on how to help your wife have a healthy self-esteem. And I think that I've got one of the best parts of the three, because I get to give you the fun things, the fun tips to pass on that you can do to help in your wife's self-esteem. Can I please recommend this book, What Wives Wish Their Husbands Knew About Women? Because it's excellent. And I just wanted to mention a little bit here. This man gave out a questionnaire to 75 women between the ages of 27 and 40. The mean age was about 32. And he gave them 10 areas in their lives that would trigger depression, and asked them to mark down in order which came. And do you know which was first? Low self-esteem. And I'm going to read the order in which they came, and just to open your eyes a little bit and let you see. But I don't think, after I have read all of these, I doubt if you would have guessed that the first one would have been a low self-esteem in your wife. And it could be that your wife has a low self-esteem and an inferiority complex, and you don't even know it because she has never expressed it to you. Okay, the first one was a low self-esteem. The second one, fatigue and time pressure. 3 and 4 were tied. 3 was loneliness, isolation, and boredom. 4 is problems with the children. 5, financial difficulties. 6 was tied with 7. 6, sexual problems in marriage. 7, menstrual and physiological problems. 8, problems with the children. 9, in-law conflict. And 10, aging. And that's the age in which those 75 women, the importance in which they came. And I don't think I would have guessed that the first one would be low self-esteem. I don't even know if I would have put it on the list. So I was just going to remind you a little bit about what George had said and remind you especially of the verse in Romans 12:3, where he was saying that we are to have a sane estimate of ourselves. And then he gave the 3 other translations that I had written down. They were excellent. Least was to have a sensible appraisal of yourself. Phillips was to have a sane estimate of your capabilities. And the Living was to be honest in your estimate of yourself. I don't know if you realize it, but women are really being attacked these days. Perhaps your ears aren't quite as open as ours are to what's going on in the women's lib and how it might affect us. And how it could affect the Christian wife, because you may just take for granted, well, that's not going to touch my wife because she's a Christian and she's biblically oriented anyway. And that's true, but I think you've got to be aware that it could be that these things might get to her, because our traditional responsibilities have become matters of disrespect and ridicule. And if you read any of the articles, you'll see that that's true, because they'll be trying to get across that the role of the housewife and the mother is not as important as having a job. And, the equal rights, that we are just as important as you are, and so that we should have equal pay, and you know how it all goes. Now, back home, your wife could be having problems with this, and you not even know it unless you're communicating, which Barb has already touched. And I think you should be aware, and the things I'm trying to get across in this area are how you can help your wife. Perhaps you have a low self-esteem of yourself. And I think we all do in some areas. I was saying to somebody that I'll come to a conference, or especially our staff conferences, and there would be at least one time, and Ed can tell you, during the week when I just, go off to our room and just have a good cry. Well, why? Well, because I've compared myself to all the other wives in the room, and I come up short every time. Because this one does that, and she's got so many children, and look at the gifts that she has, and why can't I do that, and why can't my husband be home with me all the time, like her husband is? Why does he have to go away? And, it's different now. But, these are the things that we go through, and so, consequently, the devil gets in, and between you and your evil nature, and allowing the devil to have a wedge in, before you know it, your low self-esteem has really sunk pretty low. Well, what are we going to do about that? Because if you suffer with this yourselves, and I'm sure you do at times, you know that your wife is. Sherry, I think it was, who mentioned one of the girls. Well, Sherry on Proverbs 31, a good wife who can find. She's far more precious than jewels. And Proverbs 18:22 also says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. So that's something you could start off with just today. Go back to your wife after this session and just say, did you know that you're a good thing in God's sight? She may not be encouraged first thing, but then you can show her the verse. It's Proverbs 18:22. In 1 Corinthians 12, we're told that each of us has a gift. Now, you may know what your gift is because you're a man, and we expect the man to be manly and, forging ahead. So you may have your gift all figured out, but do you realize that your wife has a gift too? Have you ever tried to figure out with her what her gift might be and help her to enhance it so that it could be more for the glory of God? Because the scripture says that God inspires them all in everyone. All of us have a gift. One time in England, Lila Sparks challenged some of us wives who were in a Bible study. Now, I want you to go away this week, and if you don't know what your gift is, try and figure it out before God what your gift is. And I hate to admit that I went back the next week having had one of the worst weeks of my life. I had decided that I didn't have any gift at all, and I wasn't being humble. I wasn't. I just thought. I couldn't figure out what my gift was. Well, I have. And I don't, I mean, I'm not saying that full of pride, but we all have a gift. And once we have pinpointed it, then we can find how we can really live to God's glory, because that chapter goes on to say that the gifts are given to us for the common good, that there be no discord in the body, that the members may have the same care for one another. And in 1 Peter, it says that God may be glorified, so that the gift that your wife has is for those reasons and not so that she can just be puffed up and be proud. I mean, did you ever have the feeling, well, if I compliment my wife too much, she's just going to get proud and I can't stand anybody who has a big head? Or, you know, do you ever find yourself feeling restrained that I better not say too much, I better not compliment her too much because it might go to her head? Well, if you just turned it around and thought, well, what would it be like if I had no encouragement in my job? I'm speaking of you as men. What if no one ever said, that was really good, you know, whatever you did, or that was a fine job you did? And just realize what it's like for the wife who has the mundane thing day after day after day. And as Barb said earlier, sometimes the man gets the impression that, you know, well, what have you been doing all day anyway? Well, perhaps she didn't want to do the thing that she's been doing all day anyway. She'd rather be out like you are and meeting people and being challenged. Well, now I've got the fun things because I've got some tips. And the girls have mentioned some of these, but I'll probably mention them again just to underline it. And just to let you know what would be helpful to us, to your wives, and to make our communications better, and to just let you know what our feelings are, how our emotions react to the different things that you do or you don't do. The obvious one is to, first of all, do you say, I love you? Maybe you all do. Maybe you say, well, you know, I'm not a very demonstrative person. Well, to say, I love you, is not being very demonstrative. But it's funny how sometimes it's very hard to get that out. And I used to think that I was a very affectionate person and that I showed it. And I've discovered that in comparison to Ed, I'm not. And I have to work at that, to, you know, to say I love you. And of course, if he says I love you, then I think, well, if I say it right back, it sounds kind of, you know, parroting and or insincere. And so that, you know, I have a problem with that. But I am not as demonstrative as I should be. And he is. And of course I like that. But saying I love you, or in the different way that you say it, is fine. But just to actually use the words. You might say, well, she must know I love her because I married her. Why did I, you know, why did we get married if I didn't love her? But as the years go by, it's kind of nice, especially the longer you are together, that she knows it. And it's nice for the children to hear you say it. It's also nice for the children to see you demonstrate it. Okay, we talked about communicating. Barb did and brought that out really well. How about saying, what about having dinner out tomorrow night or Thursday night or Friday night? Dinner out, to me, does not always have to be a big dinner. You know, it could. We sometimes just go off and have fish and chips or a Whopper. Or it's just the idea. But what is nice is if it comes from you and not from the wife who has to say, oh, you know, do you think we could have a change? And could we go and have a Whopper tonight? And you'll agree and everything will be fine. But it's really nice if the idea comes from you in the first place. I read one of the books and the suggestion was, and I thought this was really neat, for the husband to call up and say, listen, don't fix dinner tonight. I've got a surprise. And even if it's Kentucky Fried Chicken and you bring it home. You know, the idea is that the beauty of the thing is that you thought of it. It's not what it is. Barb brought that out too. It's just that you thought it up. Ed can tell you that my time to communicate when he was very busy in London and going out a lot, was near midnight. I would have theological questions or just things that I wanted to chat about, and we'd get into bed and I'd be off. For some reason, you know, we'd be awake, and I'd say, honey, there's something I wanted to talk to you about. You know, and here it was almost midnight. It got to be a joke after a while. But at other times, of course, we went out to eat. And do you know that was the best time? Because of the ministry that we were involved in, and I was home taking care of the children and could not be with Ed, I loved to go out to eat. Because there's something about it. As Barbara said, when you have the two of you together, he can't get away. Now, I would never have said that. And I didn't pinpoint it at the time, but that's what it was all about. You are there, and we haven't had the meal yet, and so I can bring up whatever I want to, you see, and you can't get away. Now, you don't look at it that way, I'm sure, but that's just the way it is for the woman. Well, why did she marry you? Because she loved you, and she wants to be with you, and she wants to communicate. And she's been with your small children all day long, and she wants to be able to talk to you about something. It doesn't have to be a meal. It can be, how about going out to the pie house? How about going out for coffee and a donut or anything? It's just the idea that she wants to be with you, and I should think you would be really flattered. But once in a while, you know, let that come from you. And the complimenting. Do you ever compliment her over the way she looks, you know, over a new dress that she has or the way she's fixing her hair? There also is the other side of the coin where maybe she ought to have a new dress. Or she ought to have the money to get her hair done or have it cut or, you know, try something new. So that might be something you think about. What does she like to do? Do you know what she likes to do? I know what Ed likes to do. Let's play tennis. I mean, that's his therapy. And it came at a time in our lives when he really needed therapy. And that to him is a therapy. To me, it's shopping with a friend, or just going out to lunch with a friend, or shopping by myself. Now, with us, it's no problem because I have no small children. But what about your wife, you know, say on a Saturday, how about suggesting, would you like to have a couple of hours to go off shopping? Or, you know, would you like to have lunch with a friend? I'll take care of the kids. But that may not be her therapy. But maybe you don't know yet what it is. So find out what it is and offer. What about allowing her to develop as an individual? Where were we when someone was saying, oh, I know, in our discussion group here, and as we went around to say what our hobbies were, and one of the wives was saying that hers was crafts and doing pottery if she could. Maybe your wife hasn't had the time yet, you know, to develop. Perhaps there are some hobbies that she hasn't done yet because she hasn't had the time, and as the years go by and the children get older, she will be able to. And it would really encourage her for you to say, well, what is it you'd really like to do if you had the time? Because each of us should be developing as individuals. We're not just married to be together for the rest of our lives and kind of get through the years together, but we can be developing as individuals as well. This, I think, all three of us will say is about one of the most important things on the list. Be her best friend. Are you your wife's best friend? And if you're not, be it. Because that's what we want from you, whether you know it or not. That's why we married you. We married you not only because we love you, but because we liked you. And we want you to be our best friend. Now, that doesn't mean that we want women friends. But if you exclude her, she will turn to another woman because she needs it. Now she will turn to other women, and that is healthy. But I'm saying, first and foremost, you be the best friend. And then as the years go by, stay that way. Ed and I have a daughter who just got married, and our son is starting university and going to live in Ames. And so we better be good friends because we're going to spend a lot of time together now. And the nature of the ministry that we do spend a lot of time together because Ed works from our home. And so we have a different relationship than you do, where you go out to work and you're gone all day and then come home. Ours is a different we have different problems because we have to watch that we don't infringe on one another. If Ed's in studying or writing letters, you know, and I want to ask him something, I have to be careful and sensitive. Or if I'm in the middle of something, then he has to be sensitive to what I'm doing and not just kind of barge in. You know, we have to be careful. That's not your problem probably right now. But one of these days, you're going to be alone together. And there are a lot of marriages that you know of that are breaking up because the husband and the wife never stayed friends and the children were the ones that cemented them together. And then when the time comes when the children are gone, that's it. What about making use of the resources of your life? I think, or of your wife. I think Barb touched on this. And often you'll, when this subject is brought up, it'll be on, you know, taking care of the budget. I don't know what George Fouché will be saying later in the week. But we have, Ed and I have come to the agreement where I enjoy keeping the budget and writing out the checks. And I have more time. And I just keep everything in order and he doesn't mind. So that we have that worked out. Although he's the head of our home, it doesn't mean that he has to do everything. And so in our particular relationship, that's fine. Well, do you trust your wife enough to do that? You know, maybe you don't. And maybe it's not her gift. Maybe she shouldn't. And I've heard of wives who, you know, they finally made a mess. And so the husband said, well, okay, I'll do it. Well, that's fine and dandy. But there must be something that you could use your wife for that maybe you've not used her for yet. It's a resource. Okay, keep romance in your marriage. My husband likes to have a woman pass by and be able to tell that she has perfume on. And this is something I have to work at. And it's silly, but it's just one of those things I keep thinking, well, I hate to say this. I really hate to. That it's almost a waste if I use it at home. Isn't that awful? And yet, it would be for Ed that I would put it on. But it's as though you buy perfume to use when you go out. And it's ridiculous. Well, do you like it? I mean, if you're in an office and you have a gal walk by, do you like it when you can tell that she's got perfume on? I'm sure you do, if you're really honest. Well, what about your wife? Do you ever give her perfume? If you like that, why not give her some? Just a tip. And then discuss with one another how you can better help one another in developing. One of the girls mentioned this. You know, how can you be of help one to another? Talk it over. And, you know, especially after this conference like this, where you have been together, you've come to really learn how to be a better husband. And we have come to learn how to be better wives. When you're on the way home, start immediately in the car to communicate. Because she's going to wait. If she's trying to be a submissive wife, she's going to wait for you to be the one to say the first thing. And will you do it, please? Start the ball rolling by saying, well, even if you just said, well, how do you think we can have better communications? That's all you need to do. Then it shows her that you are open to this because your wife is open to this all the time. But she's trying to be a submissive wife and not say too much. So that I think that's really helpful. There was a quote in this book, in another Forever My Love that Barb has, where this woman said, it takes a mature man to allow his wife to do more than live in his shadow all her life. It takes a mature man to allow his wife to do more than live in his shadow all her life. Okay, and then I just wanted to finish off by reading This is written by this man who put out this questionnaire. He said, if I could write a prescription for the women of the world, I would provide each of them with a healthy dose of self-esteem and personal worth, taken 3 times a day until the symptoms disappear. I have no doubt that this is their greatest need. If women felt genuinely respected in their roles as wives and mothers, they would not need to abandon it for something better. If they felt equal with men in personal worth, they would not need to be equivalent to men in responsibility. If they could only bask in the dignity and status granted them by the Creator, then their femininity would be valued as their greatest asset rather than scorned as an old garment to be discarded. Without question, the future of a nation depends on how it sees its women, and I hope we will teach our little girls to be glad they were chosen by God for the special pleasures of womanhood. Well, that ends what we have to share, and it's 12:20. And we would happily not mind if you got up and left But if there was some... Well, dinner isn't for 10 minutes. But, you know, if there was something that you wanted to bring up that would be helpful to us, we really would be glad to hear it. Yes?
You know, this, I think, I got a lot out of this. And it's really appreciated, and you gals are just super, really. And I think, myself, I think you can apply this to a group of women sitting here. I think they would get a lot out of it, too. I really do.
We didn't. It wasn't we who excluded the women. The men did, really. I mean, when they talked about it, they thought, well, there's never been anything like this, and why don't we make it for men only? And it was just a first thing. And perhaps maybe tomorrow they might want to say, well, look, why don't all the gals come? And that would be fine with us. So if you felt strongly about it and wanted to express it, that's fine. I mean, how many of you would like to have your wives come along? Or it doesn't matter.
I think there'd be too much poking in the ribs for the
elders. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you. I think that's what we thought, that we could, you know, just share with you very freely, because they know all this. You know, if they had an opportunity, they would have been putting in our ears all the same things that we've shared with you, really. So that was it. And we felt if we gave you the outline, and we want you to go back and talk to them, they're dying to know what we said. So please do. Don't keep it back. You know, there's nothing secretive. It's just, and coming from you would be marvelous.
Is this going to be paid?
I hope that it wasn't, at least this first time, but maybe tomorrow we wouldn't mind. But, you know, we hadn't done it. We didn't know how we'd come out. Maybe we should. Yeah.
I'd like to suggest a book for your reading list, Letters to Philip by Charles Schiff.
Right. Yes.
And it incorporates a lot of the points.
Thank you. Letters to Philip and Letters to Karen. By Charlie Shedd, S-H-E-D-D, yes. Harold.
I got a whole bunch of questions.
Good.
Yippee.
Knowing you three gals, all of you are somewhat involved in your husband's business or in their work. Does that enhance the relationship or make it worse?
Why don't you two speak, because you have a different situation than I do.
I think it enhances ours. My husband and I both are teachers. We always have been. And he understands how I feel. I understand what he's going through. We share a lot. This is one reason where we do have quite a bit of communication. We just started a new business selling books, and we love it. We love to be together.
I would say that at first it didn't in our situation. It maybe added more pressure at home. But as we work together, we begin to understand each other's problems and each other's pressures. And so, in the end, it enhances.
Maybe you're just modest, but there wasn't much emphasis or much said about sex. Maybe you felt made it feel easy doing that to make sure. Apparently that's no problem.
Now, it wasn't that we were modest. It just in the particular areas that we picked, and we didn't have all that much time, but there was a tape that was made, and it gave, and we should probably incorporate that. Ed wanted me to do it. It was a list of sexy things, and one of them was taking care of things around the house that you wouldn't regard as sexy that a wife does. And so maybe we should add that in, because it looks like we would have the time.
I'd like to share along the same line. I read the book, Bird of My Love. And it's just, my wife was gone for 2 weeks. Back home, I stayed home to care of the home front. And it was just fantastic. What it was brought about completely. But I'd like to encourage you to read that book completely all the way through, and answer all your questions and all your fears and doubts. It's just super.
Yeah, Forever My Love is the book that he's talking about. Anything? Harold, did you finish? Well, no, it wasn't that we were modest. I think that if we thought we'd had the time, we would have included. Maybe you would think that we should include that more than something else, and we're open, you know, to any suggestions.
I find it difficult, and maybe this is common to the other guys, in such things as scripture memory. I know that we could do so much more if we check each other out and learn together. And study the scriptures together, but we've just not been able to accomplish that together yet. Do you other guys, or do you gals, see that as a problem.
It's a touchy situation because of it has to be done at the right time and in the right way.
No,
the time of bringing it up, I think, on both husband and wife's part has to be the right time. If one's real busy, they're not, you know, going to be open to the help or the suggestion, and it's just a hard thing to do.
Again, it should be the husband's suggestion. I think all wives would like to be able to, you know, in communication, share with their husbands what they've read in the scriptures or have them check them on the verses, but if we suggest that we're being their, you know, Holy Spirit, we're, you know, in essence coming across and saying, well, you know, you should be reviewing your verses, you should be having your quiet time. And so we don't say anything, we'd like to, you know, but if it'd be very good, we'd like to, I think, do more of that. I hear a lot of wives say they'd like to be involved more in that way.
What about some of the other men? Yeah.
Excuse me.
I was going to ask, what about some of you?
Communication sounds like such an easy thing, but, you know, we've been struggling with it for 8 years, and we've been married 15 years this week, and, you know, I try to think of some things. It's hard for me to keep communicating with my wife, and because of some of the past, and so I've tried to, you know, find some, maybe some gimmicks or something that worked to start communication, and one thing I found that helps is praying together. Well, maybe short, but I can be honest before God, and she can be honest before God, and we can better understand each other. That way, it helps. It works for us, and I'm not one that really great communicator.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, also I think that there are times when you can communicate about the kids. You know, you go out, say you go out together, the fact of going out is just means that, you know, the wife gets out of the home. And just to be in a different setting, things can be said in a different setting. And there's just something different because the atmosphere is different. And you could communicate about the children. How do you think they're getting on? Is there anything you think that we should be doing? Another suggestion I did mention that was given in one of the books was, if you're up to date on one another and you don't have anything, any problems to communicate about, be ready with some subject to talk about. You know, it's just like when you go out in company with people. If you want to have a meaningful conversation, you have to have some ideas on what to communicate about with people, especially with non-Christians. Well, think of that in regard to your wife. You know, stimulate her thinking and have, you know, just to have a meaningful conversation together about, you know, and of course you've got all kinds of things from this conference. I mean, you men, if you don't take your wives out next week for coffee at least, you know, that she'll be just absolutely delighted. And look at all the things that you've got to share from the conference. Yes?
You mentioned this early, that for a woman to have a good self-esteem and be promoted by her husband. The husband, in the first place, got to have a pretty healthy idea of himself. And it seems to me, from the problems that I've observed, that oftentimes a husband can't surrender his life in the marital relationship because he's too busy protecting himself against what it is he thinks he ought to be but doesn't feel like he is.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore he never gets anything going with his wife because he's always protecting himself.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel that this is oftentimes happening in a marriage? Or did I make myself correct?
Well, yes, I'm sure that must be true. I think that's, Irwin, wasn't that what you're sort of saying too? That, how about the rest of you as men? I would agree with you. And I think it can work for the wife as well. She's afraid to expose herself. I mean, we are afraid to expose ourselves as people, aren't we? Because George brought that up last night, because we're afraid to be rejected. And so he said that if he says something to Florine, it's the same with Ed. If I have something that I want to say to him, and I'll watch his facial expression, if he's distant, then I'll just withdraw. I may bring it up later, or, you know, it may come out later on. I'll finally have to get it across to him, but I may feel resentful. And he doesn't even know it. And he's not doing it on purpose. But I'm very, you know, I'm very sensitive that way. And if I read an expression, then I just draw back. And I think this is what you're saying. And it's wrong. I'm the one who's wrong. It's not it. I'm the one. But I think that we all do this to protect ourselves.
It seems to me that if there is a problem with that, it'll be magnified much greater in the marriage situation than in any other relationship. Because if you're on the outside and you're rejected by somebody, you can always go to the next person.
I know. Yeah.
But there's a big price tag if you fail in that situation. The price tag of being rejected in the marriage situation.
Well, what do some of you others have to say about that, who've gone through this and come out? Okay, anybody share?
I think one thing would be complete honesty between man and wife. If you can get that communicated between each other, not hiding from it, eventually you overcome yourself. Anything or feeling of embarrassment or failure, where you're able to admit your failure because you've been honest and you're not hiding it.
Mm-hmm.
I think this affirmation, this constant affirmation, will set the stage for when the time comes where it's necessary to be open to one another. You will have already set the backdrop for an easy
mm-hmm.
honesty.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if that's not there, then it's going to be really, really hard.
Mm-hmm. I suppose a lot of it depends on our backgrounds, too, in our own homes. And it's not always easy just to start. Galen?
I think this thing of confidence in our wife. I know that I can tell my wife anything and no one else is going to know about it. And I've got to have that confidence that if I tell her something, that that's all the further it's going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really important. Well, it's time. Thanks a lot. Think of the good communication you're going to have at dinner.